Welcome to the Adventures in Arting podcast. This is episode number 7, Points of Two, recorded on December 11th, 2012. Hi, my name is Julie Fafan Balzer, and with me is my mother, Eileen Schubalzer. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Julie.
So, you and I are about to go on an arting adventure together. We just booked our tickets for California and CHA.
I know, and every year I find it's slightly different in the way that we end up interfacing with things. I find it interesting as an anthropological event because I'm not really an artist, but I'm wondering what you're looking forward to this time.
Well, for those people who don't know, CHA, by the way, is the Craft and Hobby Association show, and it happens twice a year, and the January show is always in California, in Anaheim, and for the past few years, I guess Mom has been coming as my erstwhile travel companion and super helper, and I'm, you know, the thing that I really like is I like doing the demos using the stencils that I've designed and seeing how people either like or don't like them or the questions that they have. And, you know, that kind of interaction with people really helps me figure out, you know, whether the ideas in my head are actually interesting to other people or if it's just me in my own sort of la la land. How about you? What are you looking forward to?
Are you asking me again?
Did I already ask you that?
I think you did, but it's okay. You know what I really like is now that I've gone with you many times, I enjoy seeing people whom I only know there, but whom I am very interested in, what's happening in their creative lives and how people change over time. I think that's really the fascinating stuff for me.
Yeah.
And then I like seeing how the tastes of the public change and how the manufacturers are constantly helping that along. So that's what I look forward to.
Yeah, I have to say that CHA really is a time marker for me because it happens every 6 months. I sort of judge, like, where am I since the last 6 months, since the last time I saw these people. It's very interesting. Anyway, speaking of which, two people who I have not yet had the pleasure of seeing at CHA, but I have met other places, are Robin Marie Smith and Samantha Kira Harding, and they are our guests today. So first, I want to introduce Robin Marie to you. And she lives in Florida, and she's an avid art journaler, and she and I had the great fortune to actually both be published in the book Journal It by Jenny Doe, which was just released and published by Lark Crafts. And Robin Marie is also very involved with her church and has traveled to Panama and El Salvador and Romania, and I remember reading about that on her blog, for mission work. She's also the owner of Paper Bag Studios LLC, which offers a full line of rubber art stamps. Hi, Robin Marie.
Hi there. How is everyone?
I'm good. I'm betting it's a lot warmer in Florida than it is here in New York.
Yes, you would be correct. It's very warm, actually.
Are you enjoying it or are you staying inside?
No, I'm enjoying it, but it's very hard to get into the holiday spirit when it's so hot outside. But it's okay. It's okay.
It's a good problem to have.
Yes, it is.
So, Robin Marie, I was hoping you could take us a little bit through your career path. I mean, I think that how the rubber art stamps came about and your own career and all that stuff.
Yes, I'd be happy to. I don't know about other people, but I knew at a young age that I was interested in creative endeavors. Any new art kit or project that came out, I would beg my parents to buy for me. Everything from making my own stuffed animals to jewelry. I just, you know, keeping journals. I did all of that and I loved it. I had a bad experience when I was in grade school where I won a contest for, it was some kind of a collage. I mean, when you're young, it's pretty rudimentary, but the kids made fun of me and said that my mom actually snuck in and helped me do it. And it was just really disheartening. And I guess over the years, I still dabbled, but maybe my confidence level was a little low. But as I got older, I continued to pursue various things. I really didn't know what I liked. I dabbled a little bit. And over time, I explored scrapbooking and rubber stamping, and then eventually made my way to mixed media. And once I did that, I knew that I had found something that I really wanted to continue to develop and learn. And that's kind of where I came to that. Now, the rubber stamping, I had been doing some teaching at a local store, a local stamp store here in the Daytona area. And I was ordering some stamps. And I remember one of the students and friend of mine was in the back room and I was placing my order. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I really should just design my own stamps because then I'd have what I wanted. And she said, yeah, you should do that. And that's really where it started. And then I started designing them and manufacturing them. And then it just developed from there. And that's really where I got involved in the rubber stamping. So that's kind of how it all started.
When you say you manufacture them, you're not back there with a huge stamp press.
No, we do outsource the, they actually use a vulcanizer that is used to create the actual rubber sheets. We do outsource that, and then we receive those, and then we cut them, and we mount them, and we package those ourselves. And I say we because my husband does help me in that part of the business.
I'm so glad that you mount them. I have to tell you, I know that that lots of people sell the unmounted rubber, and I have to tell you, it is such a pain.
Yes, we do sell that, but we also do the mounting and the cling mount now as well. So yes, we try to make everybody happy.
Not easy. So you have a couple different artists, right, who you have designs from, not just yourself, right?
Well, for years it's been me. And then last year I had asked Kira, who is also on the show today, to also design some stamps for us. And so she really is the only other artist aside from myself that is on our line right now.
That's awesome. So speaking of Kira, who I also asked today, so Samantha Kira Harding has gone by many names, one of which is Kira, and more recently, I think, by Sammy, and Journal Girl is her blog. But so Sammy is an artist, crafter, writer, and sometimes video producer in the deserts of Phoenix, Arizona, probably also warmer than it is here in New York City, where she lives with her two pups and an overflowing closet of art supplies. And her work has been featured in several Stampington publications, as well as Cloth, Paper, Scissors, and the new book, Photocraft. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome. So, would you like to take us through your artistic journey?
Sure. It's a little different. I did do crafts and stuff when I was little, but I really got into writing when I was in school. And all the way through college, I felt like art was for other people and I would write. And I had friends who would, you know, I was really into anime and I had friends who would draw the stuff. And I was like, I can't really draw it, so I'll write stuff for you and you can draw the pictures. And when I was in college, I had a cancer scare and I kind of was recuperating and had this moleskin or moleskin-y or however you say it, notebook. And yeah, I never figured out how you're supposed to say it. So
I think I read once that it's like moleskine.
Yes, Italian accent, moleskine. Well, that's what I had. And I looked it up online. Like I just kind of like typed it in on the internet and I found visual journaling, the kind of stuff that Danny Gregory does, that Carrie Smith was doing, Dan Price. And I was like, I can try this and see what happens. And I kind of started there. I just drew every day and I started putting in little things like movie ticket, you know, stubs and, you know, places I had been. And I started doing that. And then I remember I wanted color. So I started using watercolors and I was terrible. I thought that you put like a couple drops of watercolor in like a little dish and then filled it with water. And so I was using them completely wrong. And so I just kind of kept trying things and getting stuff piece by piece. And when I was living in California, I kind of discovered that while I loved what I went to school for, which was television production and writing, and I was doing all of that stuff, and I kind of discovered that I really loved playing in my journal more. Like that was giving me more satisfaction than staying up until 3 a.m. writing scripts. And so I just kind of continued from there. Once I graduated from college, I worked at Paper Source and I was, you know, just getting inspiration online. And then I just started doing my journals and drawing more and adding more color. And so I decided to share things online, just like on Flickr or on like a little blog or whatever, because I felt like other people couldn't be true in their journals if someone else wasn't showing them like the whole picture. And this was back before art journaling was like a huge deal. So there weren't very many blogs. And I was like, I can't find the kind of blog that I want to visit. So I'm going to make the kind of blog that I want to visit. And I was really fortunate to be featured on the Moleskinery site back in, gosh, 2005. That was a long time ago. And that really kind of got my name out there. And then I just started submitting stuff to Stampington, and it kind of snowballed from there. I just would create more and share more and publish articles and all kinds of, it really has been like a wild roller coaster ride, because I never really planned for this to be my career. And now I've been doing it full time for a couple of years, and it's just been amazing. And now I'm teaching like almost every weekend, and I just went to my first art retreat. I'm going to CHA in California when you guys are going, so hopefully we'll be able to see each other there. I'm doing video production for art companies and authors now, and it's just like everything's come together. So my path is very non-traditional. I haven't really taken any art classes. I've just kind of discovered things on my own and always wanted to share that and inspire other people to do the same. And I guess my stuff looks nice because everybody seems to like it. So it's been
really
cool.
I'm a great believer in the idea that if you do something that you're passionate about, you know, success will find you. It's just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm. You know what I find interesting is that all three of you as school children thought you couldn't draw, and you're all three now working as artists.
Yeah, I agree with that. In fact, when I went to college, I really wanted to pursue something in the arts, and I just didn't think I could. And I would watch the students carrying their little cases of tools and their big pads and stuff, and I was so envious of them, and I just didn't think I could.
I think that sometimes the definition of art, particularly when you're young and in school, is very narrow. And I hope that this has changed over the years, but at least when I was in school, it's like either you can draw that, you know, still life exactly as it looks, or you can't. And that's either you're doing art or you're not. And yep. I think, you know, certainly as you grow up, and certainly in the artistic community, there exists this thing which is not necessarily about realistic drawing, right, but about making choices about art being more about communicating a feeling and a state of mind, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So the way that I actually found out about you two was through a collaboration that you did maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I can't remember, called Points of Two.
It was 2010, I believe.
Yeah, because I moved in the middle of it.
That's right.
Will you guys tell us a little bit about that collaboration?
Well, we were just talking on Facebook one day, and Robin posted about wanting to do a project that was, I don't know if it was, we were going to do monthly or weekly, but she was just like, I want to do a project for the whole year. And so I just replied to her and I said, I've always wanted to do a project for the whole year. And we just kind of started talking about, you know, what we did and what we could possibly do. And we were like, you know, I was like, why don't we do something where it shows people that you can take one idea and there isn't a right way to do a journal page from it. You know, there's, you know, we wanted, you know, it took us a while to think up the name. We exchanged so many emails of names, like back and forth, trying to figure it out. And finally, Points of Two was just, you know, we had a prompt and then here were two different ways of doing it. And it was so funny because we wouldn't see each other's journal pages until, you know, the day we were going to post sometimes. And sometimes we would have like the same colors or the same kind of, we went to the same place, which was really interesting, but our styles are different, yet we admire each other's styles. Like, I love Robin's work. And sometimes I would want to do stuff like her, but then it would turn out in my own kind of way. And it was just, I really found it fulfilling just to have, you know, that schedule to do something every week and show up, because sometimes that would be the only time I went into my art journal. And also just kind of to see her page, it was kind of like a little tiny present every week to kind of see what she came up with, because it was like a little bit of inspiration for me to be like, ooh, here's a new page from her and no one's seen it yet. And it's so cool.
Yeah, I agree. It was definitely, at times it was challenging because it was a commitment every week for us to do this. And, you know, there were times when we'd be out of town and we coordinated. But one of the things that I really liked about working with Kira on this was that not only did we bring two different styles to this, but the idea of points of two was more than that. It was the idea that each one of us were very different. Kira is quite a bit younger than me, and she brought a different perspective to the project and to her work that I did. And we both lived in very different parts of the country. At the time, she lived near Chicago. And I remember we started it in January. And I think one of the weeks, it was like my side, your side, or something, where it was, okay, what does it look like where you are? And I was at the beach in January. So it was just really interesting that we brought so many different things to the project.
I think that week I had a picture of my dog in the snow, how he was like almost dwarfed by this, how much snow we had.
So.
And it was a very white page with just like him on it. Okay. And then you're at the beach. And of course, now we live in very similar temperatures. You know, I was outside without a jacket on today. Yeah. You know, it's not nearly as humid here as it is where you are. But I think if we did my side, your side, they would look more alike now than they did.
Yeah.
Then just content wise. But I think both of us has also grown since then into, I think our art has changed, which is great. It's awesome to have, you know, we each bound our journals. And so it's awesome to have, you know, to be able to see not only how your style has changed, you know, every week you can really see the progression, but you can kind of look back at it and see how you would do something different, you know, now opposed to then. It's really cool to have some kind of... Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I'm really interested in knowing how you think that your styles and your artwork has changed and over the year through that project and then even since then.
Well, I would say that I'm very linear in my thinking. I'm very organized. Everything's very structured in my life. And so I really look to the artistic area as a way for me to just relax and sort of get out of that and not be so rigid about things. And for me, I would say it's moved from being much more willing to try things and not be so worried about, well, is it going to be straight? Is it going to be organized? I really feel like I've gotten messier and more free, I guess. I mean, I know that word's used a lot, but I just feel like now I don't worry so much about the mistakes. I don't worry so much about whether things are perfect. And the art journal was a great way for me to get out of that because, you know, I don't show everyone all of my art journaling pages. There's things that, you know, those are private and I don't want to share them, but it's a way for me to experiment and just really not worry about it. And I just feel like the whole project and I have to say, Akira actually inspired me in the early days. I was blogging in 2004. And I remember finding her on YouTube and thinking, oh my goodness, I love this way of approaching art journaling. So she was very instrumental in helping me kind of move forward with that. And doing the project with her was just great. But I feel like I've moved into a much freer, messier, willing to take more risks and just try new things is kind of where I feel like I've come to.
Do you think that there was something like, do you think it was the fact that it was a weekly challenge that helped you move that imperfection or the fact that you like had to show your work or, I mean, do you think there was anything in particular that made that an easier transition for you?
Well, I think one of the big things that stands out with that is the fact that because I did that every week, it made me it made me go in the studio. It made me not worry about, well, what if I can't create something? What if I can't do this? Because I knew there was a commitment there and there was something, you know, people were waiting for that every week and Kira was relying on me as well. And I feel like it made me really just spend more time and not all the time did I actually end up with the page that I actually created, I might have done something totally different because I went in a different direction. The fact that I made myself go in there and I made myself work every week was very positive for me.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I was working during part of it and I wouldn't get in the studio at all. And I knew that I had to get something done. And when you have that commitment, I find that at least for me, if I have a commitment, I have people waiting because we would start getting emails from people and comments and stuff saying that they were waiting for it, you know, and so it became more than just Robin waiting. It was, you know, other people waiting. And so it got you to steadily create. It got you to or at least, you know, got us to, you know, every week have this commitment, make a journal page, get in the studio. And it really helps you develop that habit of, mm-hmm. you know, not waiting for inspiration to strike. It's you need to get this done and here's your prompt and you have until this date to get it done. And you don't have time to wait for inspiration. You don't have time to wait for the perfect paper, the perfect supply, the perfect idea. You need to get in there and get it done. And the thing that happens is that you find out that, you know, the hardest thing is to get up and go do it, because once I would sit down to work on my page, I would just have a blast and I would have all of these ideas. And it was, you know, having that other person and having those people waiting and, you know, having that deadline that was like, you need to get, you know, sometimes I would be doing it on Friday morning because I would be like, I didn't have any ideas during the week. And I would just be like, okay, I have to get this done. I'm going to go in there and do it. And I would just have so much fun. And I used to be very, I used to do a lot more collage and I used to work with my paints differently. And I think doing it, I was able to develop technique and I was able to kind of find out what my style is and find out what my approach is. And just, you know, the whole thing started because we wanted something weekly to have a year long project, because I think we knew, at least I knew in the beginning, that, you know, whatever happened, it would be beneficial and it would help me really grow, you know, farther. And I know since then I do create in my journal a lot more than I would. And I do get at least, you know, a couple pages done in there because I had that steady practice. You know, they say it only takes like what, like a couple weeks to form a habit. And now I have that steady practice of, you know, I know that if I come in here and I sit down to do a journal page, it might not turn out the way I'm thinking at the beginning, but I'm going to have fun and I'm going to create something that, you know, I like and that I might want to share. Like Robin, I don't share all of my pages. You know, I have a lot that are personal or that, you know, I just, sometimes you just have so much stuff that you've made, you just don't have time to share it all. And it was just great to have that, you know, every week, you know, not only knowing that, you know, I would get that done, but also our readers would know that every week they would get, you know, a little bit of inspiration or a journal page or something. And, you know, I think that also helped, you know, I think I gained readers and I think Robin gained readers. And it was just, I don't know, it was just like one of those really cool experiences that you have, you know. And now we're really good friends and I've been down to her house and you can tell how sweet she is because, you know, she's like, I inspired her. And, you know, the way that we met is that I was doing an art journaling zine. What was it? 2008, I think. And she was one of my favorite journaling artists. And so I interviewed her for my zine and that's how we met, you know. Yeah. Just putting out that olive branch of like, you know, I really love your stuff. I'd love to do an interview. And then our friendship has just grown exponentially since then. And it's just, she's always surprising me and always, I mean, even when I was down at her place in Florida, you know, in August, I was watching her work and I was like seeing her supplies and I was, you know, she's constantly growing and inspiring me, you know, to do more. And it's just great because I just feel like it's, we always know that we'll spark each other and have fun, which is really, really an awesome relationship to have with another artist.
Yeah. And I'm glad Kira brought that up because in a small way, I almost feel like I kind of forced myself on her. You're going to be my friend. And, and so it was, you know, but I guess because there is an age difference, not that I could be her mom, but you know, I'm, you know, a little older than her, but I just felt, I felt sort of a
kindred spirit.
Yeah. And I just felt like I wanted to encourage her and I, you know, reading her blog and knowing some of the things that, you know, she dealt with in her life. I don't know. There was just something that I was compelled to reach out to her as well. And it just, I don't know. It just really worked and it's been great. And we, through that yearly process, we Skyped a lot, we emailed a lot, and I just really think not only from the artistic side of it, but from just the personal side of it, I'm really glad that it worked for us, that, you know, we became friends, and I feel very, I don't know, I just feel really connected to Kira.
I do. See, it's the same on my side, too. I felt like I forced myself on you.
I love it.
I think there are a lot of relationships like that. I certainly have relationships with people where I was just like, I'm a super fan, be my friend.
Exactly. Short of stalking, right?
Yes. Yes. I think it's sort of inevitable. Well, it's hard because you read so many blogs and you feel like you know someone through their blog. And then you feel like you can just pick up in the middle of a conversation with them. And then you're suddenly like, oh, wait, you know nothing about me. This is weird.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I wonder if each of you blogs, all three of you, and if you could talk a little bit about sort of the philosophy behind your blog, how you decide what goes on and what doesn't, and what you hope to get through your blogging.
Well, when I started blogging, I mentioned earlier, it was 2004, I believe. And the blogging thing, at least to me, it was still pretty new. And I really love the technical side of things. I'm kind of geeky that way as well. And I thought, oh, I've got to do this. I want to have a blog. I want to share things and talk about what I'm doing. And I really didn't have a goal in mind in the beginning. At the time, I was traveling and doing some teaching at some art retreats. And so I shared those things. And then little by little, I started sharing a little bit more. For me, I don't get very personal on my blog. I've gone through some things over the years that while I was blogging that I didn't share. Sometimes I'm comfortable with it. I'm kind of a little private in that way. And I think that as I've been blogging over the years, it's developed into other things, a little bit of my life and a lot of my art. I really want it to be a place where people can come and feel inspired and it be positive. I try to make it that kind of environment. And I think about, at least this year, I decided to set some goals for blogging and for my art. And one of the things that a friend of mine said is that you need to share more of you in your blog. You need to, people want to know about you. And so that was a goal I had this year, was to share a little bit more about me, where people could learn about, who I am. And it was hard because I just kind of like to be behind the scenes and it was a little difficult, but I've enjoyed it. And it's been nice to hear from other people who have commented or emailed me and said, oh, I didn't know that. That's cool. Or I really like reading more about you and what you're about. So it's just kind of evolves. It changes, but that's where I'm at right now with it.
What form has that taken, that sharing about you, Robin? I'm just curious, has it been like photos and personal posts? Has it been just tidbits when you share art?
It's a little bit of tidbits. One of the things I started doing, which might be a little kooky, but I started doing something called Fill In Fridays. There's a blog called Fill In Fridays, and they post these open questions where you fill in the blanks kind of thing. And so by filling those in with personal things about myself, it has been revealing to people, what I like, what I don't like, things I'm doing, where I'm going. And that has been helpful. And then every now and then I kind of throw some things in about things you didn't know about me, and then I'll list them, and also trying to post here and there a photo of myself, which I don't like either, but I'm just trying to be a little bit braver about that. So it's been a little bit of both. And then also not always just posting something, a photo, but maybe trying to explain a little bit about it, why I did this and how. So it's kind of a combination of things, I would say, Julie.
How about you, Kara?
Well, I started my blog in 2005, and it was, back when we didn't have a ton of art journaling blogs, and I couldn't really find one that kind of spoke to what I wanted to do. So I decided that, my overreaching goal has been to create a blog that I would want to visit. And so I have posted a lot of my pages. I used to post pages all the time. And I've kind of stretched out from there, and I've gotten into photography, and I've posted more of the projects I've done. If I make something and I'm really excited about it, I want to share it. But in the last year, I've gotten more personal. I've done a lot of essays because, I did do writing and went to school for writing. So, of course, I'm bringing more of that into my blog rather than just pictures of stuff. And I've always, one of the things that has kind of come out in the last year and a half is blogging about having a chronic illness and, the tips, the tricks that I do so I can still create art, and just kind of like some of the things that happened to me. And because I've found that there's a community of people, there's a lot of people, even scattered, that, have the same kind of illness or something similar. And, I'll get an email from someone saying, I thought I never could do art, or I haven't picked it up in a while, or I've gone through this kind of treatment and your blog has inspired me to get back to doing art or to try it. And those are the most worthwhile emails that, that I'll ever get, and they remind me why I'm constantly sharing and pushing the boundaries of, what's private and what's public, and also makes me want to do more and find out more and strive more and try things more so that I can come back and kind of like, I feel like I go out on an adventure and then I report back and I say, I tried this and this is what happened, or I went and I did this and this is what happened. Because I find that instead of writing to like the general public, like I used to, I'm writing more towards, I have like an audience now and I really like them, and I'm lucky to count some of them as friends. And it is that kind of thing where people think they know you because I've been doing YouTube videos since 2005. And, you know, it's one thing to type a blog post of a tutorial, and it's another thing to put a video of a tutorial where people see, you know, you and how you're talking. And I got the best compliment a couple weeks ago when I went out and I met a couple girls, a couple local art journalers who are in Phoenix. And one of them looked at me and she said, you know, it's just so great that you are just like, you know, your blog and your videos, that, you know, the person that you present online, you're exactly the same in person. And she said it was very refreshing and it was great. And that was a great compliment. It just showed that this goal I've had of authenticity and sharing it has been true, because, you know, if I came off differently than I did online, then something's not right.
I was interested when you're talking about like private versus not, and like pushing the boundaries of that. Do you have a clear sense, you know, of what types of stuff you do share and what types of stuff you just don't?
I do have a couple topics of things that have happened in my life that I don't talk about on my blog. And I did do like, 30 days of vlogging, series that really kind of helped me figure out what I want to talk about and what I don't want to talk about. I talk about my experiences, but I really don't talk about my family or, kind of any kind of different hardships that have happened. I do try to keep it positive, but I'm not going to always be positive and always be upbeat. I want to show that sometimes you're not inspired. Sometimes things just aren't working for you. But I do try to keep it upbeat and positive when I can. And I really try to keep it inspirational and keep it with a message and keep with silver lining. But I do have certain things that I won't talk about. When it comes to me, I feel like I've shared so much of certain topics that it really doesn't make sense for me to stop now. But I have had a clear line of, you know, just family stuff and certain other issues and things that go on in my life. I don't talk about it with the public. If somebody contacts me and they tell me their story and it might correlate with one of the things I don't talk about in my private life, I might in an email exchange talk to them about something like that. But yeah, I kind of felt out and I have a boundary of certain things. So it's kind of like people feel like they know you, but it's like there's this whole other side, you know, that you don't know. I sometimes wish I could be as private as Robin is, because sometimes I feel like it would be easier if people didn't know so much about me, but it's the internet and I can't really delete anything. So it's out there, and I just have to be okay with that and just move on. So
Julie, I just wanted Julie to also talk about her philosophy behind her blog.
Well, you know, my blog, I started blogging in 2006. And the reason I started blogging is a completely selfish, non-community related reason, which is at that time, I really wanted to be on a design team. And at that time, they were saying, like, not everybody had blogs at that time, but they were saying, like, oh, if you want to, it's kind of an edge if you have a blog. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start a blog because I want an edge, because I really, really want free supplies. And, you know, that's really why I started. And I sort of started it at the time being pretty clear in my mind that I was not going to blog about personal stuff. And again, not for any big smart reasons, but just because the kind of blogs I liked to read were not the ones about people's children and stuff like that. You know, it was the ones that were more art focused. So it was really a scrapbooking blog. And I just didn't talk about anything personal, which was really hard at first, you know, because these things would come up where people would tag you and you had to answer five questions or whatever. And I would have to find a way to answer them about as related to my art life, not about my Julie life, I guess.
Yeah.
But then over time, like a lot of things, I think I just gained clarity about, you know, that people knew plenty about me from my art life, particularly because in scrapbooking or art journaling, you are talking about your life and people do get out the magnifying glass and take a peek at really small journaling.
They do.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, nowadays I really, when I have private stuff, which my art journal pages are often filled with thoughts that are private, I do redact those. I blur them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I need that level of privacy on this whole wild, wild west that is the internet.
Yep.
I feel like I lucked into having chosen to do an art blog rather than a personal blog, because now I feel like I love blogging. I adore doing it. I feel like I do share the true me. It's just the true me through an art lens. Like today I wrote a post that was about some of the struggles that I've had in writing this book that I'm writing, because it's brought up a lot of my artistic insecurities. And while that is true about, like, that is my Julie life, but that also is my artistic life. You know, all those, am I good enough? Who am I? Why did they say that this would be a good book? Because they're wrong, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's still real, but it's definitely art related. I always use the metaphor that if I went to the zoo, I would do a project about the zoo and share that with you, but I would never share the pictures from the zoo, so to speak.
That makes sense. That's how I approach my Instagram. I don't post a lot of personal pictures on Instagram. It's always like my artwork and through that lens. And I find it easier because my art is a large chunk of my life. And I feel more comfortable sharing just like the art lens rather than like the whole thing, because I'm a little more confident about my artwork. I mean, I'm not saying like I'm completely confident with what I create, but I feel like I've committed myself to sharing that portion, and it's fun to see what people say about stuff that you post.
Yeah. And you know, sharing is scary, which is a funny thing to say. Like there are moments when sharing is full of elation and excitement and you can't wait to see what people are going to say about it. And there are other moments that it's terrifying.
Oh, I agree. But you know, it's very rewarding though, when you post something or you make a comment about something and someone emails you and says, oh my gosh, you feel that way? And you're thinking, yeah, don't you, you know, everybody feels this way. And they're like, no, I wouldn't have thought that you would have felt, you know, insecure about that or whatever. And so to me, it's part of that process of even letting other people know, look, you know, there's no pedestal here. We all go through these moments. I think, I don't know, it might've been 6 months ago or so. I remember just posting something on there. It's like, I'm just never, ever, ever coining a song, ever going to create anything ever again. And, you know, and it's silly because that's not true, but it's just those moments that you go through where you feel that way. And Kira mentioned Instagram. I'm so addicted to that. I spend far more time on that, I think, than I do anything else. And I find that I do post more personal type photos, you know, when I'm traveling, especially, and friends and family and things. So, you know, it's little by little that I'm revealing myself a little bit more. And that is kind of scary. It's like you said, Julie, you know, even through your artwork, you're doing that. You're already in a way doing that. And even putting it out there is scary. It very much is scary.
Yeah, I do find it's interesting how much, you know, obviously like the blog is one thing, but Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, like there becomes this whole internet presence idea of like, again, where's the line?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's private, what's public. And also even I think, you know, for each of us, like we are our business, like we are our brands.
That's right.
And so the line between you and your brand is so slim, but you've still got to have it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm very careful when I'm looking to post on Facebook or to Twitter about, you know, I do really kind of look at it as a business tool, but also a little personal. But I'm very careful about that, because you become to people what you're associated with and what you say. And I just want to be very careful about that. And it's like Kira said earlier, once it's out there, it's out there. And you're right, Julie, you are part of that branding, or that, you know, you are, it's one package, it's a full package, and you just have to be really careful about it. I mean, you can still be real, but just be careful.
Yeah, I always say you can still be real, but you still can't talk about politics or religion, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's just certain things you have to avoid.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I want to loop back to two things, one of which is I want to talk about the idea of creating without inspiration, which I know, Kira, you were saying that that was part of the challenge of the weekly thing, is that sometimes you just had to sit down. And Ron Marie, you said the word discipline more than once, and I think that they're really related.
Yes, they are.
And I was wondering if both of you would be willing to just talk a little bit about what that discipline and that creating without inspiration, what that experience is.
Big question. Yeah, I didn't know who was going to talk first, but I think what it is that you have to, I find that the hardest thing for me is to get up and actually sit at my desk in my studio and start working on something. I might even have the idea in my head, but I'll be like, I'm not really feeling it. So, or, you know, I'm hungry or want to go take a walk or something. I'll find something to procrastinate. And when I finally sit down, I'll just start making random marks, or I'll look at, you know, I have to say that the gel plate is a great tool because you can just start doing stuff on there and then it kind of gets you into the flow. But I think people wait to have the perfect idea strike them, and they say, well, I really don't have any ideas, or I'm not really inspired, or I don't have the right materials. And so they're just like waiting. And I found that the longer you wait, the longer inspiration's going to be kind of waiting on you, and it's not going to hit you. So you really do have to, I mean, I've just found that if I sit down and start moving my hands and start, you know, dancing along to the radio in my chair and, you know, just moving a thing, or even if I'm just doodling on a piece of paper, that I kind of feel like once you show up, your artistic side is going to show up. And I have found that the more I kind of call on inspiration rather than wait for inspiration, and the more that I sit down to work on stuff, the more I'm plagued with ideas. I mean, the more you start working on things, the more ideas you get. You would think you would run out because you're working on things all the time, but you start getting more and more and more. And I, you know, I'm sure you've felt this experience before, Julie, with seeing all that you post, is that you just keep creating more and more and more. And if you don't get in your studio for a couple days, you feel like you don't have any ideas whatsoever. But the more that you start doing stuff, they just seem to pile up on each other. And I wonder why days aren't longer, because I certainly need them to be with all the ideas that I have.
Yeah, I could not agree with that more. This actually brings something that recently has happened in my life, just in trying to decide my direction and where I want to go. I made a decision in the summer that it was time to close my art goods shop, which I had grown and basically selling art supplies, offering workshops. But I was finding that, and Julie, this is so ironic because when we met this spring, you know, we sort of touched on this conversation, and I just felt like all I was doing was processing orders, and I was either too tired or had too many things to take care of with the business side of that, that I was not getting in the studio. And it's almost like what Kira said, okay, I have no great ideas. Well, I'm not going to go do anything. And since I've closed the store and have been focusing on going into their studio, whatever it is I'm going to do, whether it's I'm just working in my journal, or I'm sewing in my sewing machine, or I'm just, you know, moving supplies around, whatever it is, organizing things, I'm finding it is amazing. Just, oh my gosh, the ideas that are coming, and they just come randomly because my mind is in that place and I'm there. And it was the right decision for me because I want to be creating more instead of, you know, being on the business side of things. And it's been very good the last couple of months to be in there and just working and creating. And my worry, you mentioned the word discipline. Concern about this, I mentioned to a friend as I was trying to decide what to do. I said, I'm worried that, or I'm concerned about the fact that I need to have the discipline to make sure that I go in there and I get the work done and I work in the studio and I don't just sit and watch TV all day. because now I've got time. And she just kind of laughed at me and she's, I doubt that you'll be doing that. And, you know, I'm really trying to find balance between things. And I do, I spend so much more time there and it's been great. It's been great.
Yeah. I think that, you know, one of the things for me is when I first started scrapbooking, it was really sporadic. It was really like I would go to a crop or something and I would scrapbook, but I never did it at home. And then one year I decided that I wanted to do a page a week for a year, which is not dissimilar from you guys deciding to do your points of two, right? A page a week. And I was doing a scrapbook page. You guys were doing an art journal page. You were doing it together and I was doing it all by myself. But, you know, what I found is sometimes it is the act of putting the pen to paper. I think it's the same idea as like Julia Cameron and when she talks in The Artist Way about doing her morning pages,
yes,
which is the idea of every morning you wake up and you immediately just write 3 pages of text. It doesn't matter if it's you saying, I don't know what to write, I don't know what to write, I don't know what to write, or if it's brilliant. You just have to do that act of putting pen to paper and soon enough, yep, something starts to flow.
Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's true across all the arts, you know, that it is hard to get in there and it is hard to get going, but it's like inertia. Once you get going, you just start, keep rolling.
Well, and
yeah, definitely.
And sometimes for me, it's just, what if I can't create anything? Then that's just going to make me feel worse, you know? And then I almost talk myself into, okay, you just can't do it. So you're never, ever, like I said, going to create anything creative again. And so I just have to really just not listen to that voice and just say, you know what? It doesn't matter if I create anything. What if I do create a week's worth of stuff that is just crap? I don't know. Just do it. And then you'll find that's not really the case, that those ideas come and you, and if anything, it's just time that you're just creating, and if you enjoy that, then it's okay, because then you feel good and you you've spent that time worthwhile.
I agree, and I would also say, because I want to loop back to this idea too about when you are creating and, you know, having a good time and doing whatever and all that kind of stuff, that you are also doing something for yourself and you're changing and evolving the same way that you guys changed and evolved over time with your project points of two, you know, because you never will change your style if you're happy with your work, mm-hmm, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's really important to go through those phases where you hate everything that you're doing so that you have the motivation to say, I got to get out of this rut. I got to change something. I got to try something new. And then you find something that you love until you start to hate it. And then you keep moving.
Mm-hmm. That's a good, yes, point, Julie. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I compare it to growing your hair out. I was teaching at the retreat I was at this weekend, and I was doing mixed media portraits. And I said that doing art is like growing your hair out. You have short hair and you're like, I really like my short hair, but I want to grow it out longer. And then there's that portion in the middle where your hair is that medium length and you just hate it and you want to give up and you want to cut all your hair off, because what were you thinking when you thought you were going to grow your hair out? Because like, I live in a desert and I decided to grow my hair out and I'm like, it's so hot out. Why am I doing this? I should just cut my hair off and be done with it. But if you can get through that middle part, then your hair gets long and you're like, oh, now I know I wanted to do that. But you have to get through that middle of like, oh God, I really hate it. And I just, you know, got to stick with it. And I even had students saying, I'm at that middle part right now. And I'm like, it's okay. Your hair will keep growing and it'll get fine and it'll be okay. And, you know, you have to struggle through that portion. You know, I'm reading Martha Beck's newest book and she's talking about how deep play is, you know, always striving for something more, because you can't, I'm never happy with what, I mean, I'm happy with what I make, but I want to make it better. I want to do more. I want to do more projects with this, or I want to try new things. And I really find that little part of me that wants to try new things and strive for more, that's where I find inspiration. And that's where, I mean, I, you know, I've written publicly about how, you know, I was very depressed when I was in college and how art like changed me from being a sourpuss all the time and depressed to being this joyful, fulfilled person. I really feel like doing that has just fulfilled me and just has, as you said, like it is like a personal transformation of yourself. I found that I like myself so much more now than I did before. And that, I approach things with a better attitude because I have found that confidence in art and I'm always striving for something more and something greater. And, you know, also art journaling. I mean, you're getting your emotions out on paper all the time. So it's the best therapy. And it's, you know, the cost of art supplies, depending on how many you have, it could be cheaper or more expensive.
Depending how many golden products you're using, I suppose.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, ladies, I'm sorry to say that it looks like it's time for us to wrap it up. So where can we find you online? Kira?
I blog at journalgirl.com. And I have linked on there. I have an Etsy shop. And I have my Instagram and everything's linked in there. But most of the time I'm on my blog or I'm on my Facebook, which is Journal Girl Art. If you just do facebook.com/journalgirlart or Instagram/SamanthaKira. And those are really the places that I post what I'm doing and in progress pictures and, you know, all kinds of fun inspiration in art.
And Robin Marie?
Well, my blog is robinmarie.com and it's with an E, Robin's with an E. Most of my usernames are Robin Marie. I'm on Facebook and I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I do have an Etsy shop as well, but most all of those things are linked from my blog. So you can find pretty much all of my locations right there from my blog.
Cool. And Mom, you've been very quiet and I know you don't have a blog, but I'm wondering if you have anything you'd like to add.
Oh, now you're putting me on the spot. I will say that I love going around the internet and looking at all these blogs, but it's very unusual for me to bookmark something and go often. And what draws me back is really when I feel some of that personal connection with the person, mm-hmm. as you were talking about. And so these are the kinds of things that I think are attractive to other people as well. Otherwise, you're just kind of randomly looking at design and it might as well be Pinterest mm-hmm. or something. But mm-hmm. it's where you feel the person, that's where you go back again and again.
Yeah. Good point.
Good point as always, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome.
So you can find me at balzerdesigns.typepad.com and do leave us your comments or questions at balzerdesigns.com/arting, A-R-T-I-N-G. We'd love to hear from you. And if you tweet about the show, please use the hashtag #ArTing. So thanks so much for listening and we'll see you the next time on the Adventures in Arting podcast.